your testimony tonight is it's gonna be a roller coaster. We all take a big roller coaster. Amen. Yes, amen. So I agree that what I felt, someone had sent something to my wife from Doug Sheets. No, what's his name? Dutch Sheets. Yeah. I was going to call him that. Dutch Sheets. But he had said something that that I thought, you know, this past Sunday we kind of talked about, you know, examining yourself, right? And it's okay, right? I look at that a whole different way than when I was under condemnation. So when I examine myself now or things are going on, I don't do it with any type of condemnation because I already belong to Him, right? And so as I was praying, the thing that came to me that's really important, I think, for the body of Christ in this coming year is we really have to know and believe. Because we're getting pressed. I was, as an example, I just wanted to give this an example because I saw this and it was an example of what their church is going to face this year. So, Pete, what's the guy, the transportation guy for this ministry? What's his last name? Buttigieg, right?
Yeah.
And so he was talking. He was doing a video. This was YouTube. So he's gay. He's married to a man. And so he was talking about the Speaker of the House that we have now. And he says, well, I just want you to know that the Speaker of the House doesn't believe I have a right to marry whoever I want. And so he started saying all this, these bad things about him. And so what I'm saying is, what my point is that is going to increase more and more and more. It really will. So we're people, so here's the truth. Does God love him? Yeah. The Lord has been and died for me. When he died, when the Lord has been speaking to my heart, I've died that people would repent, godly sorrow. There's no such thing as the Lord speaking. But, hey, look, with a lot of us, I think I mentioned, a lot of us were raised in legalism. We knew it was right or wrong. We just never knew the right. Without his grace, we didn't, you know, I knew all these things were wrong. It's just that I could not walk in any victory because I was doing it in my own flesh. In my own strength, which is legalism, but once I knew the grace of God, the love of God, then the doors blew open, and the things that I had been struggling with so much began to break off my life. And can I be honest? They're still breaking off of my life. Is anybody perfect? No. But the thing is, I had this ability, the way I was raised, and what the Lord had done in my life, to know what was right and wrong. But now, even then, even in right or wrong, God is showing me His. How much, as an example, thou shalt not covet. We know that, right? Thou shalt not covet. Which means other people's stuff, right? And the Lord, this is how I look at that now. Thou shalt not covet because I'm more than enough for you, son of God. You don't have to want other people's stuff. I am your blessing. Don't look to other people and covet and become depressed or fret. I am your righteousness. I am your provider. So now I think thou shalt not covet. That's what it means to me. Because he is more than enough for me. He is my provider. It hurts his heart to think that I would think that he is not capable of providing all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. That he is not, is he not more than enough? Amen. So now when we think of where it says he writes his laws in our hearts in Ezekiel, in Jeremiah, and in the book of Hebrews, it says he'll give you a new spirit, right? And write it and a new heart and write his laws upon your heart. I now see it with how he looks at it. And even when I was teaching in the last year of our Bible school here, I remember I was teaching on tithing and giving. And if you think about it, I used to be one of those that even if I didn't tithe on Sunday, I would go to the church office on Monday or Tuesday and say, I'm here to give you my tithe because I don't want hellfire or I don't want the devourer to come and take my stuff. Because I missed tithing by a couple of days. That's how I thought. And so, but knowing now that even as I was teaching on stewardship, and even as I was talking about tithing or giving, even as I was speaking it, I remember teaching the Lord saying, even your giving and tithing is about people. It's all about people. the lights that are paying here or the things that we do here with outreaches we're going to do, or even paying pastors in the future on staff. The Lord's okay with that. It all comes down that it's all about people. He loves people. And so when we're standing up and talking about and having to stand up and talk about what's right or wrong, this year we're going to see more pressure. When I saw that video as an example for Pete, well, I'm not interested in what the Speaker of the House says. I'm not interested in what Pete says. I'm interested in what the Word of God says regarding truth. And those things that God talks about is because, number one, He is holy and perfect. Isn't that amazing? And that somehow, through the blood of Jesus, even in all my mess and struggles still to this very day, because of that blood, He lives inside of me and chooses to live there and chooses to hang out with me and loves me and still trying to direct me and show me and get myself closer to Him and show me His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His love, and His holiness. During all that time that I'm under construction, I had that shirt that says, part of the mess, under construction, date of completion, Christ return. Right? That in all of that's going on in my life eternally, the stuff that can be going on, you know, we all have it going on around us in families or work or neighbors, you name it, because there's enough struggles there that He chooses to live in me, and that makes me just want to draw closer to Him and look closer to Him. Through worship, through prayer, through just loving Him, that He never will leave me or forsake me. Amen. But then we have this thing that we're fighting on the other side right now that's saying, look, I love God, you love God. There's no difference between good and bad, right or wrong, righteousness or unrighteousness. And what happens if there's not a standard of truth? It'll carry people away. It'll carry people away into, Jude talks about that. People that'll come in and just, it says it uses, I talked about that, that uses grace to basically do whatever you want. So in this coming year, I believe that we're going to, as a church in America, specifically, is going to be fighting against that more and more. I've seen more and more people being publicly rebuked online, social media, for taking a stance against certain lifestyles. Is that what I'm saying? But yet it's God's heart to set people free. You know, one of the biggest reasons that the first century church was persecuted is because they would not go along with all the wickedness. And what happened with a lot of the Roman leadership, as they're saying, you hate mankind. No, we're just not okay with you taking conquering nations and then using all these people sexually perverted. We're not okay with you, what you're doing. We're saying God loves you, but the things that you're doing with these people's lives, and I might say a good example, slaves, forcing them into sexual, you know, the sex trade traffic. It was rampant then. So as Christians during that first century would stand up against that, the people that loved that lifestyle began to come against the Christians to the point that many of them were being killed. So this is the devil. When you stand up for truth or say something about a certain lifestyle or things going on, you're saying that because that's God's standard of holiness. This is what He died for. This is what He died for, to set people free. Amen? These are the things that, if all these, just think of it, if everything was okay, lifestyle, if everything was okay, why wouldn't He even need to come and die? But He came to die to wash all our sins away. If everything was okay, why would He have had to bring to find Noah, found one righteous man, right? And flooded the whole earth? It was because of wickedness, right? And so in this day and age, I just want to read this before I go to this John chapter 8. This is what I believe, but this is where we live now. And mind you, regardless, because we all have those challenges with family members, children, grandchildren, whatever it is. So even as we see many, many family members being swept away with this, with what's going on, we continue to pray. Because my prayers are powerful. I'm not walking in that, so my prayers are going to make a difference. When? I don't know. But I've come to realize, too, that prayers will also be answered. I was, as we were worshiping, I was realizing that even my prayers, some of my prayers now are going to be answered if God, Jesus doesn't return after I'm gone. Because he will answer generational prayers for the righteous. Generational prayers. So many examples, many testimonies of people I've talked to said, my mom and my grandmother prayed for me forever. Some of them saw the fruit of it. Some didn't see it here on earth. They saw it from heaven. I can tell you that. Glory to God. So this is what I think we're, you and I are facing in this coming year. And let me just say this. Don't allow it to bring you down. Understand this, that God is what he's doing in the midst of, as we see darkness coming. Isaiah 60 is coming about as well. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The gross darkness covers the earth. His light shines on you. And then it goes on to talk about those individuals, families being called from the east, from the west, from the north and the south, coming back to the Lord. So that's a prophetic promise. And you say, well, how do I know? Well, you choose to believe that you're a righteous saint of God, and you continue to declare it to your dying breath. I don't know about you, but I've determined that my faith is going to make a difference in my family. Some way, somehow. I'll see some of it. Some of it I won't, but I know it's going to make a difference because I know what the Word of God said. I stand upon the Word of God. I believe in it. And he rewards our faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He forgives all my iniquities. Chooses to overlook so many of my faults. And looks at my faith and says, I like that boy's faith. And then you, that's what he loves about you is a faith. Say, Lord, I won't give up. I won't give in. I may trip, fall, stumble, skin my chin, spiritually speaking. I may make all these mistakes, but I am not giving up on you. Hebrews 11. What was it about Hebrews 11 that God was so, that moved God? It was their faith. And you know, if you look at that Hebrews 11, there's not one word that mentions all them following the law and how wonderful they were. It was their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter your age, young or old, you can make a decision saying, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you for my life and those around me in walking and growing in you, come hell or high water. And I can guarantee you we have some hell and high water coming. But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You know that scripture? Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So God's going to bring by his grace, bring people out of that, and by his grace, he's going to reveal, as people will try to come against us, they will, believe me, he will stand firm. He's going to reveal himself to us like never before. We're going to be a generation of America, that he's going to reveal himself to us like no other generation. I believe that. See if this sounds familiar for what we're facing. I think we're in the last days. See, America is a beacon on a hill. And when you see that beacon being trying to be snuffed out, when you've got a certain half of this society that doesn't believe it anymore, a quarter of this society that believes it but it's asleep, and then maybe a quarter of the other society that's coming alive, you know we're living in the last days. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. That's okay because he's with me. Greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. Right, Mom? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He overcame the world. So you and I will overcome. It realizes that in the last days, difficult times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers. You want to stand up for the truth? We're getting ready to see slandering like never before. That's okay, because who's got my rear guard in? People can slander me all they want, but what I choose to do is bless and curse not. Be a blessing, curse not. Stand up for the truth. Because some of those that are slandering you are going to be the Apostle Paul. Some of those that are slandering you, amen, are going to be mighty women and men of God. Hallelujah. Boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents. We don't see any of that at all. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. This is prevalent spirit over this nation right now. Tell me if you don't see this. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. That means unforgiving. I don't care what you do, I'll never forgive you. That type of attitude. Malicious gossips. Without self-control. You know, just a few years ago, you didn't hear about people on an airplane just freaking out, right? You got to have air marshals now on every flight because you got people that have no self-control. Right? They got to be gagged or they just go ballistic. These are things that we never heard of before. Do you see those things or read about those things? Does it make you say, I wonder what's going on? Is the prevailing spirit, when you turn a heart towards Jesus Christ that once used to be proud and strong for Jesus Christ in our society. So when you get people trying to snuff that out and turn themselves away from the truth or resist the truth, that's when you get these kind of insane things that we're seeing. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We don't have any of that going on either, do we? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the thing. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied power. Avoid such people as these. So this is what I believe this is. Godliness, a form of godliness. I love Jesus too. Who are you to tell me what lifestyle I should live? Who are you to tell me what's right or wrong? No, we just look at the Bible differently. I just don't see it the same way you do. But the fact is they choose to oppress the truth. They choose to believe a lie. And we can have people, you know, that do that, by the way, that I will continue to pray for. Because God can bring, doesn't matter what lifestyle somebody, it's the prayers of the saints for children, grandchildren, nephews, aunts, uncles, grandma, grandpas. It's the prayers of you and I that will actually bring them out of the belly of the whale. Amen. Or maybe some of them need to spend some time in the belly of the whale. I'm not kidding. It's up on shore finally and said, okay, I've had enough. That's what happened to me. I've had enough, Uncle. And that's what His grace and His love. You know, when you come to the end of your own lifestyle, when you come to the end of knocking your head against the brick wall, maybe I'm the only one that's ever experienced this, finally. Give up. Can't do it because, you know, legalism and religion is just my own pride. It's my pride. And I humble myself and say, Lord, I can't do this. And I just can't do this on my own. I don't even think I'm going to make it. And then submitting yourself to Him. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. When we finally humble ourselves, that's when His grace, His mercy, His love comes rushing in and absolutely transforms our lives for Him. Amen. Isn't that what He does? So what I'm saying here is, with this form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. For it says from such withdrawal. That's what it says, from such withdrawal. It's this, say, hey, I can live anything, do anything I want. God's grace covers that. No, that's a form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, or denying the truth. So with love, we'll go into some scriptures where, if we have time, where Paul says, hey, pray for this individual, you know, but do not allow it to affect you. So what am I saying is, in this coming year, we have to know our God and say, Lord, I'm going to stand for the love people, but I am going to stand for the truth. I'm not going to get swept away. Where sin abounds, grace abounds, all of them. Stand up for the truth and say, no, that's not right, but Jesus can set you free. Because look, that person has to stand before God. All I know, for me, I've got to stand before God for myself. Matter of fact, I've got to stand before God by whatever I say in this pulpit. So I take that quite seriously, right? So as I prepare, when I say things, I prepare, I'm very weighty about that. Very much to me, Lord, I don't want to say anything that would mislead people. I don't want to say anything that would devastate people, but I want to encourage people. My goal is that people would grow and grow and grow in Him and grow beyond anything they ever could imagine. That people will be set free from things and they said, I just gave up on it. I gave up on it decades ago. I gave up on it. That Jesus, God's love, grace, and mercy, and truth, because it has to come of truth, will set this generation free. Amen? And like I told you, I was telling my son about, you know, I'm worried about where, you know, the son don't get trapped in legalism and this and that. Be careful what you preach to these young people. You remember I told you this. It was an eye-opener, right? My son saying, Dad, I know that's the way you were raised, but I'm dealing with junior hires in high school that don't even know what's right or wrong. We've got to teach the truth. We cannot be cowards from the pulpits. We can't be cowards. We've got to operate in love, you and I, with those that we come in contact with. Doesn't mean I go around just telling people you're going to hell. No, I live the truth. And what Peter Saban says, hey, when you have opportunity, give your testimony, what God has for you. Amen. Like my one friend Dan, as a business, his testimony is, I was a homosexual, and Jesus set me free. Now he has a ministry to homosexuals. And I said, well, how did you get free from that? He said, well, first you got to believe the truth, then it's wrong. If you don't believe it's wrong, you're stuck. You will be bound by a lie, as long as you believe that lie. He says, but And his testimony being, he says, from the time I was in junior high, I had same-sex attraction. He said, I never knew why, but I knew what the Bible says, and I choose to believe the Bible. And because I choose to believe what the Bible said about it, Jesus set me free. And he ended up getting married and having a wonderful marriage. Why is it? Because I chose to believe the truth. You will not be set free from something if you think it's okay. It's the truth. What's it say? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It won't condemn you. It'll set you free. What's it say in 1 John? I mean, the book of John. It says those who believe Jesus, he gave them the power to become children of God. And there's hope that those who don't believe, it says they're condemned already. Already. That's what it says in the book of John. Amen. So when you say anything that comes against what they're doing, it's a demonic foe. A force trying to come against you to say, shut your mouth. We don't want you telling the truth, because if somebody gets a hold of that truth, it'll set them free. But if you can be convinced to shut your mouth and not say anything in the right circumstances, when you're teaching your children when they're younger, what you say to your grandchildren, if they don't know the truth, how are they going to be free? Amen. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. Amen and amen. So that you and I this coming year, not in condemnation at all, we want people set free. I don't want anybody going to hell. My heart is that people be set free. Jesus desires that people will come to the truth. He died for those things that are an abomination in his sight. Nothing changed with that. It just now he made a way to be set free. He found a way to restore your fellowship with him. Amen. You know, 1 John 8, verse 12, we might get to one or two verses. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, this, because he was always speaking to the crowd, wasn't it? Anywhere Jesus went, unless he withdrew himself with his disciples, there was a crowd, right? Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Anybody here believe he's the light of the world? The one who follows me will not walk in darkness. Can I get an amen? But will have the life of life. And so how, you know, it's pretty simple, these things, because you think, well, what's the light of life? Well, it says that it's a spirit that's life, right? The light is a spirit. You shall worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So his spirit lives in you. You and I are a spirit, spirit being, correct? Spirit, soul, and body. And so if you were to pass away right now, your spirit connected with your soul realm would go right up to be with Jesus. Amen. But see, what's the dark? Where's the darkness come? Well, you remember Adam and Eve? Do you remember them? So the carnal or the flesh, fallen nature, along with Satan, the god of this world, that is the darkness. Unfortunately, your flesh, when you're born and you grow up, it loves its own self-righteousness. It loves its own secret sins. It loves what it wants to do, right? The only problem is it doesn't want to please God, because it says in Romans 8 that the flesh cannot please God. And it says if you don't have the Spirit, you're not his. Amen? So your flesh cannot. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. So this thing of our being spirit-led by your spirit, man, then your flesh, you're telling your flesh, nope, I'm not listening to your direction. I am crucifying you, and the Spirit of God that's in me, the grace of God in me, is telling me I can. And the enemy of the flesh says, yeah, but you've failed 1,000 times. It'll just be 1,001 times. And eventually, on that 1,001 time, or whatever it is, you break through that sin line and let that become. And even during the whole time that I was going through that, he never left me. He's always been with me. I never agreed that it was okay. It's just where I was at. And on that 1,001 time that I took that step, I didn't stumble. And now I have the victory. That's what God has for every one of us in every area of our lives. Every area. That's good news. You know, I listened to this podcast. I listened to a part of the podcast, and it was on devil worship. I wanted to hear what they had to say. And what I realized as I was listening to it, what Satan worship is this: whatever your flesh says, obey. You know that commercial? Obey your thirst. Sprite commercial? Obey your thirst. So when I hear that commercial, I say, nope. Satan, you're out of this world. Sorry, I know that's just a simple Sprite commercial, but I know what you're trying to do. I've been down that road, what you try to do. So when it was this devil worship was about, hey, Satan's not bad, you know, he may be real or not real, but here's the point of devil worship is obey your flesh. Amen. You know, flesh, we have certain things we have to obey in our flesh, you know that? There comes a time when your body says, hey, it's time to eat, we gotta eat. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's times where you're just going to have to drink water. Matter of fact, you should probably be drinking a lot of water. But isn't it funny how the flesh desires so many things that just are contrary, right? I know ice cream, I mean, I know this is superficial maybe, but I know ice cream's not good for me. But he calls me every night. But lately I'm saying, get behind me, Satan. Why can't my flesh at 10 p.m. say, hey, let's go get some broccoli? Let's go get some broccoli. Right? Let's go get some sliced apples. But you know you can train your body to do that, right? But isn't it funny you have to train it? Why is it that cigarettes, because I was a smoker, terribly tough to quit. Why does my body crave something that wants to kill it? It's the flesh. The flesh does not desire good things. Why does my flesh like to react the way it does in whatever, right, ways that it does? We could go on and on and on. But we have this temporal body, so there's things that we have to do. We have to eat, right? We all love, God made sex between a husband and a wife. And so it's training your body knowing that, hey, anything outside the scope of marriage is sexual immorality. But your flesh tells you, we don't care. We don't care what the Word of God says. We want to do what we want to do. So there's an example. Your flesh is not your friend. But the Spirit of God is, and He lives in you. And He's there to teach us and to show us and to say, no more. The Lord's showing me that this stuff here, it grieves His heart. See, Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We just talked, there's so many desires of the flesh. Even the desire of the flesh wants to have its own form of godliness. The flesh loves legalism because it can be proud of what it's done or not done. The devil, what was Jesus calling the religious leaders at the time? And you know what he was calling them. He's calling vipers, snakes, children of Satan. They had a form of godliness. The flesh loves to have a form of godliness. It loves to think that it's right with God with its own efforts and its own righteousness. It just perks up and says, yes, look what I've accomplished. That was me. But the Spirit of God loves it in our weaknesses and those things where it's saying, Lord, I just give it to you. I can't do this. It loves to strengthen us. And the Spirit of God showing us how to put to death the deeds of the body. That's what the Spirit of God does. How long does it take? A lifetime. Can I be honest? So when I say walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. It says for the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit. Did you hear that? Your flesh is against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. Did you hear that? The flesh is there to say, nope. Nope, you're in that area, you're not going to be victorious. Nope. We don't want you reading the Bible any amount of time during the day. Nope. We're going to make sure you're sleepy when you want to go read the Bible. Anybody ever experienced that? But then you turn a movie on, you're wide awake for the whole thing. So the Spirit wants to fellowship with you. Whether it be reading the Bible, we're talking about worshiping Him with music, people's gifts, praying in tongues. Amen. Me and Mr. Anderson like that one person.
Yeah.
And there's all these different things that you can be just praying under your breath, praying in tongues, reading the Word. Sometimes fellowshipping with your spouse, that's spiritual. Union of the spouse. There's so many different things. That is fellowship with the Spirit, but the flesh is opposite. This is what the flesh likes to do. You're not going to hear from God. When you're speaking in tongues, that's just you gibbering to yourself. He's not going to answer your prayers. And what the flesh does is it gets you to look at what you can see in the natural. The Spirit man says, let's look at what we can't see, which is the truth. For this situation. I am for your finances. It's okay to give to those who need because I will support them. Those are the things that the Spirit of God is saying. The flesh is saying, if we don't see it, it can't be real. If we don't see it, it can't happen. The Spirit man says, though I do not see, yet I believe. Yet I believe. Isn't that good news? And then let's make this continue a couple more. What does carnal look like? So Galatians 5:16-26. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's so starting to talk to 18 now. Says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Isn't that an interesting comment right there? But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you start trying to do things in your own strength, you know you're under the law. Because where's the Spirit? What did they have to do in the Old Testament? You had to do it. Let the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Thou shalt not do this. You shall not do that. all these things, and they had to do it in their own ability. Did they ever accomplish it?
No.
What did Paul say in Romans 7? He says, gosh, as soon as I knew about this, thou shalt not covet, every form of covetousness there was just took over my life. Doesn't seem fair, huh? But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Because His Spirit is leading you and guiding you. You're mortifying the deeds of the flesh. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. If you're led by your flesh, you'll never please God. You'll never weigh the balances. Okay, I've sinned this much. You've heard me say this, and I used to have this problem. Until I caught it, it was a revelation. Okay, I've been not really a good boy, so what good deeds can I do to weigh it out of the balance? That's legalism. There's no weighing out the balance. You are righteous only by the blood of Jesus, amen? And then when you're led by the Spirit, then those things that you're trying to balance out, He's the one that helps you mortify those things. Amen. Put him to death. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. So he says, hey, in case you're wondering, so I'm going to remind you of some of these deeds of the flesh that are destroying people's lives. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, indecent behavior. We don't have any of that today, do we? Idolatry. That's the worst. In this society, it's the worship of money. Witchcraft. You know what I'm talking about? We've got people, I've said this before, you've got people that just practice open witchcraft. How about tarot cards? They're talking about tarot cards. Who's the only one that can tell you your future? That's Jesus Christ. He made you. He made the stars. The stars can't tell you your future, but the one who made the stars definitely can lead you and tell you your future. Witchcraft, hostilities, strife, jealousy. He's talking about the works of the flesh, right? Outburst of anger. Anybody ever had that problem? Or am I the only one? How about selfish ambition? Dissensions, factions. Always trying to cause trouble, you know, cause problems with people. Envy, drunkenness, carousing. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, this is Paul, I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. He's not talking about we all have struggles. Anybody ever have a little angry, maybe a little outburst? Are you just saying, well, I read that, so now I'm going to hell? No. What is people like this who can live this lifestyle, that's who they are, that's what they do, and yeah, I love Jesus, it becomes a form of godliness, but they're void of the Spirit. There's nothing in here saying, hey, I want to change what you're doing. I want to give you victory. So what it is that, hey, no, I love Jesus, I know Him, but they live this lifestyle. There's no conviction. There's no desire for change. It's this thing, and when I will go back to Jude, where they say they do whatever they want in the name of grace, but they're like clouds blowing with no water. There's no life there. So when it says that they will not inherit the kingdom of God, that they'll practice such things. That's who they are. You know when you've given your life to Jesus and understand His grace, He begins to unwrap and show you things and deliver you and set you free from things. And then I can read things like this. I used to read things like this and say, I'm in trouble. I've tried and tried and tried. I am in trouble. I can't do this list. And then always trying to do it out of my flesh, because if you're in the flesh, then you're under the law. But when I realize His grace and His mercy, His Holy Spirit within me, and then I belong to You. Yes, Lord, I agree. These things are not right at all. But how am I going to get past it? He began to show me as He led me through it. It began to break off of my life. As I began to operate some of these things, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would touch me and my heart would be grieved. I'd say, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to treat people that way. I don't want to act that way. I want to be an example of Your love. And so those things became what I did practice, because I was doing it in my own strength, where the Holy Spirit through His grace began to break those things. And so when I read these scriptures now, I don't say, I don't identify with them at all. I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm set free from them. And the things I'm still struggling with, I give them to you and help me, Lord Jesus. I agree they're wrong, but I can't do it without the Spirit's help. Show me how. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to stand up for righteousness and truth, but understand it's only grace and the Spirit of God that can set us free and make us a voice to a generation that is opposing the truth. That there's going to be some out there that we're going to talk to that have parents or grandparents that are praying for them, and all of a sudden it's going to penetrate their heart. They're going to say, yeah, I know that's right. I know that's wrong. And it's going to bring a godly repentance. Lord, we thank you for godly repentance in this coming year. Lord, even as things come against us, trying to get us to shut our mouths about the truth, we thank you for bringing a godly repentance yet to this generation. There'll be some of those that will oppose, that will come against us. But there's going to be those that join us that come into this righteousness by the grace of God. With that, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.